It is the Carl Museum's 10th anniversary, and they're celebrating with some very special exhibitions, including the first major exhibition from their permanent collection, 100 pieces reflecting 100 years of picture book history, and an exhibition of many illustrations from the enduring classic Charlotte's Web. The sale of the Charlotte's Web drawings last October caused quite a stir. Everyone connected with the world of children's book art was thrilled by the strong prices, which we'll talk about in just a few moments. Thus, to celebrate their purchase, Garth Williams' 100th birthday, the 60th anniversary of Charlotte's Web, and the museum's 10th year, the Carl is assembling the exhibition Some Book, Some Art, Selected Drawings by Garth Williams for Charlotte's Web, which comprises of approximately 30 finished drawings. This is quite an undertaking. We welcome to the studio Carl Museum Chief Curator Nick Clark to tell us about bringing this all together. And joining us on the phone, we welcome Tony Dietrelisi, an amazing fantasy artist, children's book creator, and motion picture producer with close ties to the Carl, as well as Spiders and Charlotte. Welcome. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you.
And Tony, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It's a delight. Let us begin with you, Nick, of how this all came to be. So Garth Williams, the estate puts much of this, they own them for a long time.
Correct.
And then they put them up for auction. And then how do you guys get into gear?
Okay. Well, let me just so people don't realize that you can put a show together in 2 months. The sale was actually in October of 2010.
Okay.
But that's, and what had happened was that I actually had hoped to do a broader Williams exhibition in this year to celebrate his 100th anniversary. And working with the lawyer for the estate, he was more than cooperative, with the caveat that the family might want to put the material up at auction. And of course, that's what happened. And so in the fall of 2010, they did it book by book. So the first book to go up for sale was Charlotte. And I left a bid and was blown out of the water. Tony was bidding online, so he can talk a little bit more about that. But it was after the fact, and it was really through Tony and his wife, Angela, that I learned that some people had bid with their hearts, not with their checkbooks. And so there were some pieces that were not placed. And so that's how we were able to buy a work of art. It was really after market that it happened. Again, because the first piece in the auction was the cover, and it was estimated at 40,000 to 60,000, and it went out at 140. So clearly there was tremendous interest, and that really set the tempo for the sale. And Tony can attest to that as well.
Now, Tony, you were in on the bidding. So what got you interested to begin with?
Well, you know, I mean, Garth's work, I mean, grew up with it, probably like many, many people in America. I mean, Charlotte is one of our, you know, one of our fairy tales. I cherished it. And as an artist and an illustrator, I always appreciated and adored his inking technique. So the idea of actually owning one of those pieces from that classic, I was kind of awestruck with the excitement and kind of a sadness that the pieces were all going to be fractured off and going into different places and homes. The chance to be able to own a piece of children's literature history was so incredibly exciting that, we took some of the royalty money from the Spiderwick Chronicles and set it aside.
That's a good present for yourself, I think. That's good stuff. And
it's from the spider to the buy.
Well, yeah. and you know, when you think of that, you know, when you're talking like movie money, you know, $150,000 for something that, I mean, that doesn't seem that bad to me, really. Nobody agrees with me. I'll move on. Okay.
No, I agree. But I just want to be clear that it was not Tony that bought the cover.
I'm just saying. You know, yes. That's like you're, you know, you think of it overall.
You're absolutely right.
Tony, did you have a piece?
I do.
Did you have a specific piece in mind that you were looking to buy?
I did. I actually I had a couple pieces, but the one that really was enduring to me, I always love that illustration of Templeton after he eats all the food, and he's kind of fat and kind of reclining.
Yeah.
And of course, in my mind, I always think of, you know, Paul Lynde doing the voice in the cartoon in the 70s.
Right.
You know, A fire is a smorgasbord,
This is a full-service interview.
And that's what I think. I think of that, too, actually, but yes.
Yeah.
And it's such an iconic image.
It is. And then, of course, Charlotte. And that, for me, having done, you know, the Spider and the Fly and drawn a lot of spiders, and then I actually had a very brief opportunity to work on the live-action film that was released in 2007. And so that it was just a great, you know, to be able to kind of mark that by actually owning this. I felt very, again, very honored, but also humbled at the same time.
So to be clear, which pieces did you end up with?
We did get one of Charlotte in her web, not one of the ones where she's spelling out, but one of the ones where she's just kind of sitting in her web. And we did get the one of the ones with Templeton. The tubbed up one, the way I look after Thanksgiving.
the great thing about that piece, and Garth Williams is one of my favorite. I think I said this earlier today. One of my favorite, two favorite illustrators, probably Ernest Shepherd and Garth Williams. Going,
you have good taste, Joe.
I just grew up with that, and I absolutely adore them. For me, I mean, I obviously love Charlotte's Web and all of the E.B. White stuff, but if I were to dissolve all of my worldly possessions, I would want something from A Cricket in Times Square. Of Tucker or Harry Catt.
Yeah.
And Templeton reminds me a lot of, not a rat, but in a mouse, Tucker the Mouse, where he has a little piece of liverwurst from the Cricket in Times Square. This is a beautiful, beautiful pen and ink illustration. When you look at the sale, then, Nick, you bring this exhibit together. So you're sort of working with the people who have purchased this and say, oh, well, we would like to show this stuff off.
Correct.
And how did that go?
Well, actually, Heritage Auctions was extraordinarily helpful. I composed a letter of inquiry, and they've obviously for confidentiality purposes are the conduit for that. They sent it out right away. I heard from some people almost immediately. I heard from a lot of people sort of in a trickle. And yes, I did not hear some people that I would have loved to have heard from, but that's the nature of the game. You can only, by sort of sending that exploratory letter, you're getting your answer. But that notwithstanding, it is an extraordinary assemblage. And I just want to make one point that complements Tony's passion for what he acquired. He and Angela acquired was one of the works in the exhibition is the drawing of Fern pushing Wilbur in the baby carriage, and it comes from a collector in Los Angeles who, when I talked to her about it, said, what I really collect are silent movie posters. But when I was in the third grade, I had an assignment to make a copy of a drawing from a book. And I made a copy from Garth Williams's Fern pushing Wilbur in the baby carriage. So that's the drawing I had to have. Mm-hmm. And it's that primal quality that I think infused why so many people, why the bidding was so strong. There's such emotional resonance for that book among so many people. And your test for the day, Joe, is do you remember a book called Secret of the Andes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you are in a distinct minority. That is the book that won the Newbery 60 years ago, and Charlotte's Web was the honor book.
Yeah, and I think and I only know that from Jeopardy, but it's hard to believe, you know, that something would not be as enduring. But when you look at the quality of author and of illustrator, and Tony, I guess you can speak to this a little bit of what for you, I mean, what must have that collaboration been like for both to be at the prime of their talent and power?
You know, I'm not exactly sure how the working relationship with E.B. and Garth was, if it followed traditional children's publishing model. Generally, the two weren't in touch. There may have been some preliminary discussion beforehand, and then some discussion after the fact. However, I do agree with you that that you do have a culmination in Garth's case of years of work. I mean, he started out doing the Golden Book stuff, which he did some fantastic work during those years. And it's beyond just mastery of the medium, the pen and ink that he used. It's getting the characters to actually act and emote. And I think that if that's paired properly with the text and can take it into another direction, you can either illustrate a sentence in the text to kind of, you know, put an explanation point on it, or you can illustrate what's, you know, in between the lines and more what's inferred. And I think that absolutely is the case with Charlotte. And I think it also with younger, what we call young adult books and novels today, these middle grade books, and certainly, you know, the Little House books, Cricket in Times Square, Winnie the Pooh, all these kind of fall in those categories. You need those visual cues as a young reader to help you with your comprehension.
It is amazing when you think of Garth Williams of how many classics. I mean, we mentioned, of course, Charlotte's Web working with E.B. White. He worked with George Selden for Cricket in Times Square and that entire series, but he also did The Rescuers.
Did The Rescuers? He did Stuart Little?
Stuart Little, of course, with E.B. White.
Margaret
Wise Brown. He had many collaborations there, and of course you mentioned the Golden Books. I mean, it's really incredible because so many of the illustrations that we think of when we think of classic children's literature, he was responsible for, and it's really it says a lot.
And in America, I mean, I being a person who is also an avid fan of work like Ernest Shepherd, which I think their styles are very
much
similar.
So. Yeah.
You at glance you'd maybe think that Williams' work was of a British person 50 years prior to when he was actually active. So I really really take pride and relish in the fact that he's an American illustrator of the 20th century.
Although he did have his formative years in London. That's where he trained, so he did absorb that. Now, just one other thing I think is important when talking about the collaboration was that White sent Garth Williams the definitive book about spiders so that he would get Charlotte correctly.
Correct.
And there are, in fact, on some of the drawings, there are some notations from White. So there was
eyebrows and things like that. Yeah.
So there was conversation going back and forth between them, which was as Tony said, it was unusual. But I think White felt so deeply invested in making sure that Charlotte was spiderologically correct.
And do you know how you came to spiders, Tony? How that became kind of your bailiwick?
It's funny, Joe. I think as a child, I feel like insects and arachnids and small things like that are such a part of your life. And I would have said maybe, well, it's part of a boy's life, maybe growing up in Florida, but my daughter's equally fascinated by insects. They raise butterflies and caterpillars in the classroom. So I don't know if it's a sense as a child you associate with these small things in a very large and possibly overwhelming world. But for me, I just always held on to the love of those things. And I think as we get older, that our tastes in insects and spiders kind of shifts to, you know, throw a shoe at it, spray it, swat it, kill it, get it out of the house. But for me, it was an endless fascination with that microcosm. And so it was, and it continues to this day. I still, will collect insects out of the backyard or take photographs of them and so forth. And so I think it just came naturally for me with working on The Spider and the Fly.
Your Spider and the Fly is one of the greatest. I mean, I grew up with that, when you walk into my parlor, said The Spider to the Fly, 'tis the prettiest little parlor that ever did I spy. But, I mean, I grew up with that, and it is so enduring, and I can do it by heart. But to see your illustrations and have it come alive is really quite incredible.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I mean, I certainly thought of characters like Charlotte who had come prior to. In fact, we did a humorous acknowledgement kind of epilogue in the back of our picture book adaptation of that, where the spider says, "Now, if I was Charlotte, I would have been having ham for breakfast.
When you look at the larger picture here of how this impacts the Carl Museum and helps you celebrate your 10th anniversary, and by the way, Nick, I can't believe it's been 10 years, but it has been 10 years, and so here you are. So what a wonderful way to celebrate.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this is one of many, really, celebrations that you're having throughout the year.
Absolutely. And what a better way to celebrate than with one of the great landmark books of American literature. And I put that in the broad canon as well.
Now, and I just want to get back just to make sure I have this correct, but in the end, when all the dust settled, you ended up owning how many?
From Charlotte's Web?
Yes.
We have a final ink and the preliminary drawing.
Okay, so two drawings from
yes.
that.
And as the curator says, hopefully, two to date.
Yes, and more to and more you know.
Yeah.
And that's part of your permanent collection.
Correct.
And your collection is quite large.
It is growing. We have over 10,000 works in the permanent collection. So that's 1,000 works a year.
Yeah, and many of the works are on display.
Yes, including one of Garth Williams from the Little Fur Family, which we were able to acquire through the generosity of Alan and Kendra Daniel, who are collectors who have really been very instrumental in the early side of the collection that we have.
I think of some of the work that you've exhibited over the years of I think one of the best exhibits I ever saw was the Virginia Lee Burton and the Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shovel.
Yes.
And it's just a gorgeous work.
That was a wonderful exhibition. And unfortunately for us, all of that work had been placed into institutions. So we were not the beneficiaries of it on a permanent basis. But what a marvelous exhibition to be able to share with people. So that's another one of our roles, is bringing together material that has been dispersed and to let the visitor enjoy it.
And let us not forget the man of the hour here, but Eric Carl, and of course what he has brought to the equation, and his incredible work, which is very much at the forefront of the museum and of your mission. He has to be just incredibly proud of all this.
Well, I think, quite frankly, I don't know whether he fully realizes what he and Bobby have done.
Yeah.
And it is beginning to sink in. And when they came up in November for the celebrations, I think they were really astounded at what they had achieved. And so much of it is people come and see this institution and say, oh, my God, I had no idea. And that's the word we have coined as omogeny. And but it's that is what has attracted, whether it's collectors or artists or families of artists, and that's the range of what you see in the Iconic Images exhibition.
And Tony, when it comes to your work, what's next for you?
Well, I'm in the middle of more middle grade books, so same age as Charlotte's Web. I'm doing some science fiction stories right now, a series called The Search for Wandla. And I'm getting ready to embark on the third and final chapter in that trilogy. But I have continued, my wife Angela and I both continue to be very much involved with the museum. I'd have to say that, you know, moving up to Amherst from Brooklyn, where there was a very thriving children's book community, you know, the museum was absolutely one of the main reasons why we wanted to be up here. And I think as an illustrator, to be able to see a museum present artwork in a serious tone and an academic tone, it really kind of validates that what you're doing really is art and can be appreciated at a level equivalent to many other artists that you know hang in museums around the world. And so I'm very, you know, very honored and humbled to be involved with Eric and Bobby's museum.
Have you all figured out? I don't know whether kind of parties you all get together, but have you all figured out, like, you and Mo Willems and Norton Jester and all these people get together and say, you know, get an understanding as to what it was about the area that drew you there?
Well, I think you kind of hit it. I mean, I think that you have folks like Norton or Jane Yolen who've been here for many, many years.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we first came up to the area, it reminded us of Brooklyn when we first moved to Brooklyn in the 90s. And so it's got that kind, I think the colleges keep the towns kind of vibrant and vivacious. And I like that. I like that sense of a pulse to it. And obviously the museum is a big aspect, but I think there's a rich lineage of literature in this area. And so to feel like you're kind of part of that bigger synergy is incredibly supportive and gratifying.
Well, it is an incredible place. One of my favorite places. It is the Eric Carl Museum for Picture Book Art, and you can go see some book, some art, selected drawings by Garth Williams for Charlotte's Web, and that comprises of 30 finished drawings, and it's up through
April 21st,
and you can find more information at carlmuseum.org. carlmuseum.org. That's carlmuseum.org. Nick, Tony, I thank you so much for being with us. I so appreciate all of your efforts and for taking the time out to speak to us today. It means a lot to me. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Joe.
And may the lockbox overflow.
Yes, well, we'll see. Thank you very much. Again, Some Books, Some Art, Selected Drawings by Garth Williams for Charlotte's Web, on display in the Eric Carl Museum in Amherst through the 21st, carlmuseum.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.